Good evening, folks. So glad to see you tonight. Glad you're able to join with us for another week of our Bible study and prayer time. Again, you can check online for the prayer bulletin and also the notes for tonight. Hopefully you've already done that. And let's go ahead and start with a word of prayer, and then we'll jump right in. Father in heaven, God, thank you so much, Lord, for your goodness to us and all the many blessings that you've allowed us to enjoy. We do thank you, Lord, for this church and the ways that you have protected it from Satan's influence, protected its members, Lord, when we've gone through difficult times. And Lord, I think right now of Elfrida Zachary's family as they're mourning her loss. And we just pray that your comfort would be known to them, as well as Clara's family, Lord, as we've had to say goodbye now in the last week to two of our members. But we thank you for their life. Thank you for the interactions you've allowed us to have with them over the years. Help us tonight now as we continue our study to not just learn, but to do, and to glorify you through our obedience to your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so here's our text for tonight. It's found in Romans chapter 6 and verse 19. It says, "For as ye have yielded your members, servants, to uncleanness, and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members, servants, to righteousness unto holiness." Here's what Paul is saying here. Just like you used to present your body as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, which would lead to more lawlessness or ever-increasing wickedness, he's saying present your bodies instead as slaves to righteousness, leading to sanctification. Now, we have previously considered why we need to guard our minds and our emotions. The thought part of us and the feeling part of us. We spoke of the struggle that we all have, saying no to sin because of our ingrained habits of sinning. But it's also important to understand how our habits influence our will. Because every sin that we commit, and maybe you've never thought about this before, every sin that we commit reinforces the habit of sinning and then makes it easier to sin. And that's what Paul was talking about there in our main verse. Members or servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, unto iniquity, or to more lawlessness, ever increasing wickedness. Habits are simply the thoughts and emotional patterns engraved on our minds. As an unbeliever, we gave ourselves to developing habits of unholiness. This is what Paul was referring to as ever-increasing wickedness. Every time we sinned, every time we lusted or coveted or hated or cheated or gossiped or slandered or criticized or didn't forgive, we are developing habits of ever-increasing wickedness. These repeated acts became and still become habits that made us slaves to sin. But look at what Paul says in verse 19. He says, just like we gave ourselves to these habits, before we were saved, we gave ourselves to these habits, or maybe are still giving ourselves to these habits. He's saying we now should give ourselves to developing habits of righteousness. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. Now, we've looked at that verse before, and that phrase there, exercise thyself, that is a phrase of intention. He is saying, train yourselves to godliness. It's intentional. It will not happen on its own. We have to do our part. This is planned. It is methodical. It's more than just trying hard not to do the old habits, but instead it's intentionally doing things of righteousness, doing something different. Training and structuring our lives to develop godly habits. How many of us have tried this? We grit our teeth. We determine with all of our willpower that all the willpower we can muster to not do that thing anymore. You know, whatever that thing is. And how many of us have failed? We can't do it on our own strength. But there are some practical principles that we can follow, if we choose to train ourselves to godliness. These are just going to be some practical principles that we can follow, as I said, if we choose to. It won't happen on its own just because you heard these principles tonight. We must do these principles. Here's the first one. Frequent repetition. Let's go ahead and define habit a little differently to fit this principle, to fit our context here. Habit, a behavior pattern acquired by frequent repetition. Can you see how that fits there? This is the same underlying principle with our sin. The more we do it, the more it becomes a habit. The more we do that thing, the more it becomes a habit, and then we end up doing it without even thinking about it. This is the principle that Paul was speaking of in Romans 6:19. The more we sin, the more we are inclined to sin. Do you know how to develop a good habit? Not how many days does it take, because maybe many of you are thinking, oh, 21 days to form a good habit. But how do we develop good habits? Well, when in doubt, Google, right? That's what I did. Now, I'm going to share something with you. It's kind of a secular approach to developing good habits. But there is a lot of truth here, and many of this is based on biblical principles. Here's what Google had to share with me. Step number one, devise a plan. To develop a good habit, you first have to devise a plan. What is that? Well, we've already talked about it. It's intentional. We have to be intentional about it. Step number two, seek support from others. You're trying to develop a good habit. Devise a plan, seek support from others. Now, where do we find that in the Bible? Well, that's the whole concept of accountability. If a man falls, woe to him if there's no one there to help him get back up. We need accountability. Step number three, keep decisions to a minimum. Now, if you take a look at your life, okay, if you're honest with yourself, you're going to see, man, there is so much more work to do in my life to be holy. Hopefully that has already become very evident to you as we've been going through this study of holiness. But keep the decisions to a minimum. Don't try to do everything hardcore all at once. Step number four. Recognize what needs changing. Now, the Bible tells us to pray as the psalmist prayed, search me, O God, See if there's any wicked way in me. Allow the Holy Spirit to identify for you what needs changing. And then step number 5, discover your obstacles. This is important as we're trying to break old habits and form good habits. From a secular point of view, they say discover your obstacles. The biblical point of view is what Paul said. Don't make provision for the flesh to be tempted. In other words, identify those things, those areas, those people, those times, those circumstances that seem to put you in a weakened state where you will give up trying to form the new good principle, or maybe give up trying to break an old bad habit. I said a good principle, I meant a good habit. Paul says we need to identify those things if we're not going to provide for our flesh to be tempted. Number 6, create a routine. And then number 7, find ways to reward yourself. Now, we're going to kind of take that out of the secular realm and just say this. The reward for forming good spiritual holy habits is holiness. Habits have a way of becoming automatic, don't they? I mean, we sometimes do them without even thinking about it. I remember back years ago when I was in college, the president of the college, whenever he spoke in chapel, he had this mannerism that he would do while he was speaking with his glasses. And he would always do this with his glasses while he was speaking. And it's not that they were sliding down to the end of his nose, his hand just like this. And he would just touch his glasses for some reason. I doubt he even realized he was doing it. It had become an automatic thing. That's what habits do. They become automatic. And then there was a lady instructor there that she had this, I'm not going to say annoying, but it was very distracting habit when she spoke. She would always do this thing with her voice where she would just go, while she was talking, and she would say a few more words and do this little exhale of air. It was really distracting. I remember one class as freshmen, we sat in there, and instead of taking notes, we had our paper out and we were making little tally marks every time she did that throughout the entire class period. Probably didn't even know she was doing it. That's the goal of forming good godly habits. Automaticness. I don't know if that's a real word, but we're using it tonight. Is it easy? No. Can we do it on our own? No. God has given us the Holy Spirit to do all things through Christ, which move me toward holiness. How about riding a bicycle? Once you learn, you never forget. Have you ever heard that before? And I think that's probably true. I don't ride a book very often, but or ride a bike very often. I never ride a book, in fact, ride a book. But once you learn how to ride a bike, you do never forget. How about this? A unicycle. Now, not a lot of people can ride a unicycle. And years ago, I learned how to ride a unicycle. And I'd been away from it for several years and many years, in fact. And then this unicycle came into my world again. And I got on it and tried to mess around with it a little bit, see if I could make it work. And the next day, I was riding it in a parade. It all came back. When you're learning to ride a bike, do you fall? Yes. Do you fall? Do you fail? Yes. What do you do when you fall or fail in trying to do something? You get back up, like you did when you were learning to ride a bicycle. You try it again, and you fall, and you get back up, and you try again, maybe going a little bit farther. And maybe you have some wobbling experiences there where it's not quite steady and you hit the curb and you fall again and you get back up. But eventually, riding a bike becomes an automatic behavior, but not before, and please don't miss this, not before there are many missteps along the way, many wobbling moments as you're trying to learn how to do that, before it becomes an automatic response. Let that be an encouragement to us as we try to break these sinful patterns of behavior. We keep getting back up. We can develop positive habits of holiness. We can develop the habit of thinking thoughts that are pure and lovely and true and good. We can develop the habits of prayer and meditating and memorizing God's word. But this is only going to happen through frequent repetition. Let's look at our second point. Never let an exception occur. Principle number two, never let an exception occur. Now, why this? I mean, an exception. It's not like we're totally giving up and we're going back to the old ways. Why never let an exception occur? I mean, come on. The exception, it's only a little one. Like, I've talked about this before. Like when I went sugar-free for 2 months and then I ate just one candy bar out of a package of six. It was only one. That's exactly what went through my mind, though. I will make this one little exception. It was a little miniature candy bar at that, but it very quickly turned into six, the whole package. What was the principle that we looked at in our main text? You remember that phrase, ever increasing wickedness? Okay. One little exception leads to another exception, which leads to another and another. When we allow an exception, we're making provision for the flesh to be tempted. We're opening the door. We're feeding perhaps that old habit, that old thing that we're trying to get away from. We are reinforcing the old habits, energizing them, in fact. When we tell ourselves just this once, what we're doing is we're setting a dangerous trap, because we're unwilling to do the hard thing of telling our desires no, bring our bodies under subjection. We're telling ourselves one more time, just one more time, tomorrow will be different. But tomorrow becomes even more difficult because we just fed that old habit today and re-energized it. Here's a third principle for us. Diligence in all areas is required to ensure success in one area. Now, we may feel at times that giving in on one particular habit isn't too bad, right? But continually giving in, here's what happens. It weakens our wills against all the others. Maybe the others that we're trying to go gangbusters on and finally conquer this. This is why it is so important to develop habits of self-control over our physical appetites, like we spoke not too long ago. In fact, it was just a few weeks ago. Remember, we considered the concept that overindulgence leads to more. The habit of always giving in to the desires of the body, it will extend to other areas. If we can't say no to an indulgent appetite for something, we will be hard-pressed to say no to lustful thoughts, controlling our tongue, controlling our anger. We will say no to doing those things that we know are right, that we should be doing. And then these things start to become idols to us. Colossians 3:5 was a verse we had considered. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Now, let's just take that word covetousness again. Greed. In other words, we want more. Materialism makes us discontent and envious of others. Materialism causes us to indulge our bodies. As we indulge our bodies, we become soft. We tend to become soft spiritually as well. Like, we don't read as much as we used to. We don't memorize as much as we used to. We say, it's too hard. Now, remember, I think it was 2 weeks ago where I had read our main verse for that night, mortify your members, that verse. And I had myself timed. I had you time me on that. And in 15 seconds, what it took to read it one time, 15 seconds. That means I could read it 60 times in 15 minutes or about that. Imagine if you read a verse 60 times every day, just took 15 minutes, read it 60 times every day, you would have that verse memorized. I'm sure of it. Is it harder? Yes, but the command is still there. The benefit to us spiritually is still there as well. So we have to control our appetites, because when we don't, the overindulgence leads to other things, leads to us becoming, in fact, spiritually soft. So let me just, for you real quick, reveal how to control our body. How do we control our body? The place to start is reduce exposure to the temptation. That goes back to the verse that we looked at earlier, where Paul said, don't make provision, don't provide opportunities for your flesh to be tempted. So when we are faced with this thing, it has a way of giving our cravings a boost of adrenaline. And what did God tell us to do? In 2 Timothy 2:22, he said, flee youthful lusts. Flee that package of six candy bars. Don't have just one. Oh, we'll just have one tomorrow and then I'll start over, or one today and I'll start over tomorrow. He said, flee youthful lusts. Second thing in controlling our body, plan ahead. Now, this was a verse that I had read in Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 12. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. In other words, a wise man sees potential dangers and he hides. He develops a plan. A simple man sees potential danger and just skips along with no plan at all, and no wonder when he falls. So let's look at our fourth principle for tonight. Don't be discouraged by failure. Folks, failing, falling, messing up, not getting done what we wanted to get done, man, that happens to all of us. It's a part of life. But let me help you understand this. Falling, remember in Ecclesiastes, it says a man that falls, there's no one there to help him get back up. Woe to him. Falling is not the same as failure. Failure happens when we stop getting up. Everyone falls. There should be no extreme embarrassment over falling. Should we feel bad? Should we have a convicted, guilty conscience? Absolutely. But not the debilitating type. The type that just says, oh, forget it, I can't. And we just quit and give up. Falling is something Everyone in this church does. Every week, no doubt, we fall. Failure is just not getting up. When we stop trying. As long as we keep trying, we've not become a failure. And as long as we keep trying, we can expect to see progress. I hope you'll keep trying this week. If it's memorizing, get back at it. 15 minutes, just 15 minutes every day. Read one verse over and over and over and over for 15 minutes. Try to spend some time in your word and spend some time talking with Jesus, learning more about him. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for our time together tonight. Help us, Lord, in this matter of developing habits toward holiness. Help us with the struggle, Lord, that we face with our flesh. We've looked at some practical principles, some things we need to do to help us in the struggle to form good habits. God, I pray that each one listening, that if they need to, they would go back over and review what we've looked at tonight, but then not just review, but do the things we've considered here this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. Folks, I hope you have a great week, and I hope to see you Sunday morning.